Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the program. I'm Tracy McClure. Coming up over the next half hour, Pope Benedict welcomes the president of Tanzania in a Vatican audience and meets members of the Mennonite World Conference. We talk to some of the archbishops Pope Benedict has just named the newest cardinals of the church, and a group of women representing Catholic philanthropic foundations visits the Vatican to share views on the presence and role of women in the church. Pope Benedict on Friday received in audience the President of the Republic of Tanzania, Mr. Jakaya Mrisho Kikwete. In a communique following those talks, the Vatican Press Office said the Pope and the Tanzanian President discussed the East African nation's role in encouraging peace in the Great Lakes region. They also spoke of the relationship between the state and church, characterized by what was called mutual respect and esteem, and about the contribution of Catholics to the progress of Tanzania's people, especially in the fields of education, health, and other social works. The two also discussed the importance of the peaceful coexistence and collaboration between believers of all faiths, particularly between Christians and Muslims. Also Friday, Pope Benedict received a delegation from the Mennonite World Conference. Chris Altieri has more on that.
The Mennonites are a Christian community named after a 16th century religious thinker from the Netherlands. They are strongly dedicated to peace and simplicity of living. Monsignor John Radano of the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity spoke with us about the spiritual affinities in the Catholic and Mennonite traditions.
From a Catholic point of view, they have a lot in common with the spiritualities of the Middle Ages that we share. For example, they're very strong on the spirituality of St. Francis of Assisi. We held one of our meetings in Assisi, actually. So they have much in common with us in terms of medieval spiritualities that developed during the time of the Middle Ages.
In his remarks to the Mennonite delegation on Friday, Pope Benedict said the ecumenical spirit of recent times has seen the growth of contacts between Catholics and Mennonites after centuries of isolation.
Since it is Christ himself who calls us to seek Christian unity, it is entirely right and fitting that Mennonites and Catholics have entered into dialogue in order to understand the reasons for the conflict that arose between us in the 16th century. To understand is to take the first step towards healing. I know that the report of that dialogue, published in 2003 and currently being studied in several countries, has placed special emphasis on healing of memories.
The Pope also spoke of the Mennonites' reputation for their strong Christian witness to peace in the name of the gospel and noted that, despite centuries of division, the dialogue report called Together to be Peacemakers has shown that Christians and Mennonites hold many convictions in common.
We both understand that reconciliation, nonviolence, and active peacemaking belong to the heart of the gospel. Our continuing search for the unity of the Lord's disciples is of the utmost importance. Our witness will remain impaired as long as the world sees our divisions.
Pope Benedict concluded saying, above all, what impels us to seek Christian unity is our Lord's prayer to the Father, that they may all be one. I'm Chris Altieri.
Three bishops and priests are on their way to becoming the church's newest cardinals. Pope Benedict himself made the announcement to crowds of pilgrims at the weekly general audience in St. Peter's Square on Wednesday.
Io ora la gioia di annunciare che il 24 novembre prossimo, vigilia della solennità di Nostro Signore Gesù Cristo, Re dell'Universo, Teron Consistoro.
Pope Benedict said he was calling a consistory for November 24th, the eve of the Solemnity of Christ the King. This will be the second consistory of Pope Benedict's pontificate. One of the newly named cardinals is American, the former president of the Pontifical Council for Social Communications and currently pro-Grand Master of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem, Archbishop John Foley. He was in the square when he heard the Pope announce his name. He told Philippa Hitchin about that moment.
I was on my way back from the eye doctor. I had had an eye operation the day before, and I had to have my eye checked. And on the way back, I said to the man driving me, I said, maybe you could leave me in St. Peter's Square because there's an announcement I want to hear. So I wanted to know who the other cardinals were, too. I had no idea. And so I was there in St. Peter's Square, and there was a Polish man next to me who spoke some German, who spoke some English. And when the names were read out, he said, do you know any of these people? I said, I know most of them, and I am one of them. Well, I don't think he could believe it. You know, there I was way back in the back of the crowd standing and with him. I was thrilled to be there and to hear that. And I was surprised that my name was second, which was a great honor on the part of our Holy Father. So I'm very grateful to him for this appointment.
What about on a personal level, though? What does this really mean to you as a person?
It reminds me of some of the magnificent people who have served in the College of Cardinals, and it's a very humbling thought to think that I'll be following some of them and joining many of them. I know, I guess, most of the cardinals, and they're certainly admirable men, and it will be an honor to be working with them on behalf of our Holy Father.
Another new cardinal hails from Asia. The Archbishop of Bombay, India, Oswald Gracius, spoke to Paul Anthem about his new job.
I think for the church, my appointment is more a recognition of India and the Indian church, and also, of course, the See of Bombay, which is the biggest archdiocese in the country. I also think that I do feel that the Indian church can make a contribution on the universal level. I'm not speaking of myself personally, but the Indian church in general, like our theologians, then our priests, our lay people, certainly can make their own contribution to the universal church in different ways, in theology, and in the apostolate, in also thinking about re-evangelization. I certainly think that. And then the pastoral initiatives which are taken over here are very creative, I would think. So I'm happy for all in that sense of that the Indian church is would be able again have another opportunity to make a contribution to the universal church.
And Bishop, what will your priorities be to fulfill the role to the best of your ability? What will your priorities be in the position?
Depends on the opportunities, depends on what the Holy Father wants. And I would continue the work I'm doing at the moment for the conference. But as far as India is concerned, of course, I do see the priority of interreligious dialogue, which is so very important. And my own episcopal motto is to reconcile all things in Christ. And I do think reconciliation, bringing peace, bringing harmony, building bridges is a very, very important role which the church has got to fulfill. And I'd be happy to be an instrument in that.
Archbishop Sean Brady of Armagh, Ireland, told Lydia O'Kane he was honoured to be elevated to cardinal.
It is a great honour, a daunting challenge, a humbling one, but an honour, and an honour not to me personally, but an honour to the Church in Ireland, I think, and of course to the Church here in Armagh, the seat of St. Patrick, where the people of Armagh rejoice very, very much in this. The ones to whom I have been speaking certainly are overjoyed. But I know it comes with a tag on it, that is, it's a call to service in the church, to serve the communion with the Holy Father and through him to other churches. So it will bring other responsibilities and other duties, but that's what I was ordained a priest for, that's what I was ordained a bishop for, and I want to avail of this opportunity to ask through Vatican Radio for prayers for especially my friends in Rome who may be listening. Many, many friends I've made over the years, I'm sure they are happy, but I would also like to ask them for prayers to help me to carry out as well as I possibly can the duties which will fall to me as cardinal.
Now, just talking about the role itself as cardinal, I suppose it's an expansion. You could call maybe an expansion of the work that you have been doing all of your life and continue to do. And
that's,
I suppose,
right,
much more that needs to be done. And as a cardinal, you will carry forth and do that.
Well, I suppose there's a more universal role in the sense you have, you're at the service of the Holy Father. The first one everybody thinks of is about voting in a conclave, but that's, I hope, far away. And but the other one is to be at the service of the Holy Father, to come and offer advice or views on important questions when asked to do so, either individually or as a body. So that's the dimension of it there that immediately comes to mind, and that is one of service of communication, and therefore promoting this wonderful thing that is the communion of life in the Church.
We also caught up with the Archbishop of Nairobi, Kenya, John Njue, and asked him what was his reaction to the news he was being raised to cardinal.
It was a very big surprise because it was news that I did not expect or even think of. And so I simply have to take it with the spirit, once again, of obedience. And I will do what is really possible, as much I can say. And I say also thank you to the Holy Father for, appointing me. I know it is not an easy task, but I'll do what is possible with the help of God. I think for Kenya, once again, it is a blessing because we have been now for around 4 years without a cardinal. And I think that is the feeling that is being expressed after the breaking of the news. So there is joy, there is happiness, and I am hopeful that this reception will help us to be able to work together, not only within the Catholic Church, but also with other Christian denominations and also the non-Christians.
Cardinal-designate John Njue of Nairobi, Kenya. A group of American and European Catholic women from prominent foundations active in philanthropy are just wrapping up a week-long visit to the Vatican. Organized by the Europe-based Fidel Goetz Foundation, the visit was planned around the theme of the presence of women in the Catholic Church. The participants met a number of Vatican officials, visiting the Pontifical Councils for the Laity, Justice and Peace, Culture, Christian Unity, and Interreligious Dialogue. For the Holy See's press secretary, Father Federico Lombardi, the frank and open dialogue with the participants offered an opportunity to understand the expectations of women and of important institutions in the Church in the U.S. and Europe.
These meetings and these conversations are always very inspiring also for us, for me personally, a very good occasion to understand also better what the expectation for the growth of the presence and of the responsibility of the women in the Church and also in the Vatican are.
As Pope Benedict has remarked on numerous occasions, women have played a fundamental role in the Church since its very beginning.
There are many women that have had a very important, inspiring role, the great saints in the history of the Church, and also many responsibilities in many aspects of the life of the Church, in pastoral life, in charity, in education, and so on. We cannot overestimate the role of the women in the church. It is absolute essential. Also, in the mission I have traveled in the past, in many missions, I have appreciated incredibly what the women are doing for the formation, for the education, for the life of the families and so on. I think that no work can be more important of this fundamental work for the life, for the family and so on, for the concrete life and also for the religious life, but also of the people in very different and difficult situations.
Many women enjoy important roles too in the Holy See.
We in Vatican Radio have a very important and long experience. There are many women that are active not only as journalists, but also as head of different sections of many important programs for French, in English, Africa, service, and so on. And I think that these levels of responsibility will grow also in the future. Also, in other church activities in the Holy See, we have important roles for women. I think that one of the most important is Professor Glendon, is president of the Academy of Social Sciences in the Vatican. There are also subsecretary in a congregation, Sister Rosanna in the Congregation for the Religious, and I think that also many women are consultors of important dicasteries for the family, for the lay people, also for the doctrine of the faith. In the theological commission of the doctrine of the faith, there are also women theologians, and with the growth also of the presence of the women in these important fields like theology, spirituality, pastoral work, and so on, we will sure in the future have more and more a presence of women in important responsibility places.
Well, besides being the Vatican press spokesman, Father Lombardi met with the group too as director of Vatican Radio. I joined them downstairs here at the radio and sat down for a chat with Carrie Robinson of the RASCALP Foundation for Catholic Activities. I was curious to know why the group was here in the Vatican and what were their expectations of their visit.
We are here in order to respond to Pope Benedict's desire to elevate women in leadership in the Catholic Church. And we thought that it would be fruitful for us to begin to have a dialogue with many of the presidents of the pontifical congregations and pontifical councils at the Vatican level to examine the role that women play in the institutional church. I think our first hope is that this would be the beginning of an ongoing conversation between young Catholic women who are representing their family philanthropies in service to the church, the beginning of a conversation with members of the hierarchy and members of the curia at the Vatican level on the importance of recognizing, encouraging, affirming, and elevating the role that women can play in service to the church they love.
What are the challenges that you see right now facing women today in the Catholic Church?
It's complicated because we are interested in women all over the globe. And as you know, being a journalist at the Vatican Radio, the situation and circumstances for women in various parts of the world are different. Speaking from the perspective of a Western woman, one thing that we notice right away is that the Catholic Church produces documents that often speak very prophetically and compellingly about the dignity of women. And in fact, is an important champion of the rights of women, of the dignity of women. The church plays an important role advocating against sexual exploitation, economic injustice, and has a special concern for the most marginalized in society. We read these statements and celebrate them. Frankly, I wish that those articulations could reach more people. But one concern we have is that when we apply these wonderful statements and beliefs and look at how they are manifested in the institutional church, there is a gap, a disconnect. We don't often see that women's important role as advocated in society is encouraged and appreciated in the church itself.
In what ways can women aspire then to levels of responsibility within the church, or represent an inspiration to lay or religious women in general?
If you look at the United States, for example, which is still very much parish-based, unlike Europe, with the declining numbers of ordained clergy, there is an increasing rising levels of lay ecclesial ministers. These lay ecclesial ministers play an absolutely essential and vital role in our church. 80% of them, according to the data by Kara at Georgetown University, are women. And yet, while 80% of lay ecclesial ministers are women, many feel as though they are not as valued as their male ordained colleagues. And the church, if the church cannot affirm and encourage and validate and support these women in particular, the whole church will be impoverished. Frankly, our biggest worry in coming over to Rome stems from our great love of the church. We're lifelong devout Catholics. We live lives of faith, but we also professionally, through our philanthropy and through other work that we do, have been of service to the church all of our adult lives. And my worry for the institutional church is that it is slowly becoming irrelevant to women. And with that irrelevance comes the price of the church becoming irrelevant to these women's children, boys and girls.
But how do you see this manifesting itself? I mean, are you seeing actually women leave the church or just going less frequently to Sunday Mass, not sending their children to catechism classes? How are you seeing it actually play out in the States?
What I'm seeing is young Catholic women looking out at their professional landscape and knowing that they can aspire to levels of leadership in every and any sector, and that they not only can aspire to that, but they can be fulfilled and they can reach the highest levels of leadership, be validated and affirmed for their gifts in service to that leadership. And that does not apply always or even often to their vocation of service to the church itself. This fact means that the whole church is impoverished because they will be less and less willing to make the sacrifices to pursue a vocation of service that is their baptismal right and responsibility in service to the church that they love. As young mothers ourselves who care very deeply about the transmission of the faith to our own children, our sons and our daughters, we want to do something to reverse this alarming trend or worrisome trend.
Robinson and her six women colleagues take inspiration from comments Pope Benedict has made on the role of women in the church. One example comes from a March 2006 meeting with priests from the Diocese of Rome, where Pope Benedict insisted women cannot be ordained priests, but said it is right to discuss how women can be more involved in church decision-making. The Pope was responding to questions posed by the priests, some focusing on how the role of women is appreciated in the church. The Pope said the church owes a great debt of thanks to women and highlighted women's achievements in founding religious communities, expanding charities, and developing new forms of piety. He spoke, too, of the visible contribution to church governance of figures such as Saint Hildegard and Saints Brigid and Saint Catherine of Siena. The contribution of women, he said, always has been a determining factor without which the church could not live. And while priestly ministry is reserved to men, Pope Benedict said it is right to ask if it would not be possible to offer more space, more positions of responsibility to women.
We were very, very pleased to hear him specifically talk about his desire to see women included in more ways and to find more opportunities for women to have positions of leadership in the church. He recognizes when he looks at the secular world that institutions benefit from the particular gifts that women can bring to those institutions and sees that the church would also benefit.
Under his predecessor's pontificate back in 2004 as prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger issued a letter to the bishops of the church entitled On the Collaboration of Men and Women in the Church and in the World. In it, Cardinal Ratzinger's congregation said that women should be present in the world of work and in the organization of society, and that women should have access to positions of responsibility which allow them to inspire the policies of nations and to promote innovative solutions to economic and social problems.
So we come over here with a great sense of hope about this, and I have a great sense that our message resonates. We have been incredibly welcomed here at the Vatican this week, and we have enjoyed learning about how the various congregations and councils operate. We're particularly encouraged by those presidents and cardinals who value and esteem the contributions that women have made to their own work and ministry. And we are encouraged that that will continue in the future. We've also met some wonderful women who are working at the level of the Vatican. And we find them women of great intelligence and strength and insight, clearly blessings to their apostolates. And we hope that this will be the beginning of future conversations, that we can return to our home countries in Europe and in the United States, share with our colleagues in philanthropy the various opportunities to promote women and their leadership in service to the church. I want to thank Chantal Gertz of the Fidel Gertz Foundation in particular for conceiving of this idea and organizing it so well for us, again, with the hope that the church will be the beneficiary of our time, energy, focus, and collaboration.
Carrie Robinson of the Raskob Foundation for Catholic Activities. She is also a representative of FADICA, the foundations and donors interested in Catholic activities. Well, that's all we have time for today. Thanks for listening. I'm Tracy McClure. If you'd like to hear this and other programs on our website, the address is www.vaticanradio.org. Again, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the English program of Vatican Radio. Laudator Jesus Christus.